Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, sons and daughters of the Most High God. Glad you're here today. We are continuing our conversation about what it means to worship in spirit and in truth. We've been looking into this for several weeks, and I'm using the word vital worship, V-I-T-A-L, vital worship, just as a catchphrase of all that it means to worship in spirit and in truth. And this morning, I want to try to describe with a few points what it means to worship with this vital worship. What does it look like? We talked about last week, we talked about the scriptures that underpin our need to worship God and why we should. And so let's read the word and then we'll get into these points. John chapter 4, verse 23 and 24. It says, "Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For they're the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. For God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship him in spirit and in truth." And so, what does that mean? And so this morning, let's take a couple, and all the words start with the V. You know I like doing that. So all the words I'm going to give you start with the letter V. And so the first thing I'll say about vital worship is it's voluntary. It's voluntary. Now, we volunteer for all kind of things. We volunteer for military service. Some of you in our congregation have done that or are currently doing that. We volunteer to sing on the praise team, right? We volunteer to work in the children's program, things in our church. But we also volunteer to give blood. We volunteer in service projects around our country, around our neighborhoods. And we volunteer to make coffee at work, right? If you like coffee at work. So we volunteer for a lot of things. Well, vital worship, worship in spirit and truth, has got to be voluntary or it's really not worship. Would you agree with that? If I have to make you worship, is that really worship? So years ago, we were in a church, years ago, like three decades ago, and the gentleman leading the music that morning got up and wanted us to do a little exercise while we were singing, and he said, this is his words, he said, "You're going to worship God this morning whether you want to or not." That's what he said. And I'm sitting there going, "Yeah, I don't know if I'd say that way, but..." And he wanted us to turn around and sing a song and everything. And he didn't last very long in that church. But anyway, you can't force people to worship, right? It must be voluntary. It must be something I want to do. It just must be something I desire to do with all of my heart, soul, mind, and strength. And so a few verses here. Isaiah 29:13 says, "These people come near to me with their mouth, and they honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. The worship of me is made up of rules taught by men." And so if that's all worship is to us, is going through and checking off the boxes on a Sunday morning or a Sunday night or even in a house church setting, if all it is that, is it really worship? Have we really gotten to the place where we're pouring our heart out to God and telling him what our heart thinks of him, right? You know, there were 10 lepers that were healed. You remember the story, the 10 lepers in the leper colony came to Jesus and they said, "We'd like to be healed." And he said, "Okay, go show yourself to the priest, you're healed." And they went away and one came back, right? And what did the one that came back, what did he do? Right? What, Bella? He thanked him. He gave thanks. He voluntarily came back and said, "I want to thank you," right? He didn't have to. Jesus didn't say, "Go show yourself to the priest and make sure you're clean so you can go back to church. And then I want y'all to come back and give me thanks." Right? That's the requirement. Jesus didn't make that a requirement for them to be healed. He just said, "Go and you'll be healed." And as they went, they were healed. But something inside of that one guy said, "I've got to go back and give thanks. There's something in me that can't be silent. Something in me that can't be still. I've got to go." You know, the Holy Spirit is our worship leader. You know, churches today, we call them worship leaders. That's the person that's the point person leading the music, whether it's with guitar or keyboard or some other instrument. And we call them the worship leader. And I would suggest that's not the best title. In the Psalms, they're called music directors, right? They don't actually lead worship. I think the Holy Spirit is our worship leader. I think he's the ultimate worship leader. He comes in, he prompts us, he says, "Jim, I want you to worship God with this word or this phrase or this song or this action or this attitude. Jim, I want you to do this. It's the Holy Spirit speaking to me. So I really think he's our worship leader. Wayne is our praise team leader and a really good one. But he's not our worship leader. The Holy Spirit is. And so as we think about volunteering, as we think about vital worship being this voluntary thing that we do, it must be prompted by the Holy Spirit. And I think that's part of what it means to worship in spirit and in truth, is that we're, my human spirit, my born-again human spirit, is in tune with the Holy Spirit, so much so that I must praise God, right? The second thing I think vital worship is, it's valuable. It's valuable, right? It will cost you something. True worship in spirit and in truth will cost you something. Wayne was sharing this morning, and he said last week he's going to fast from TV all week long, and he did. And so he was sharing this morning how the Holy Spirit had spoken to him so many times and in so many ways. He said we met yesterday, and we did. He didn't tell you we met for 4 hours talking about the Lord and what the Lord's doing and what he's doing in our church and our people's lives. The Holy Spirit was just present in the meeting, as well as that old-timer's breakfast from Cracker Barrel. It was present, too. A couple of cups of coffee. Vital worship will cost us something. It will be, will it be a sacrifice or just an inconvenience? This morning when you got up to come to this place, was it a little bit of an inconvenience? Was it a sacrifice? Was it a desire, right? Worship should cost us something. Exodus 34:20, the scripture says, "No one is to appear before me empty-handed." No one is to appear before me empty-handed. And though that could mean an offering, like a financial offering of some kind, I think there are other things that we can bring to God in our hands when we worship him, right? We can bring humility. We can bring our needs. We can bring our wants. We can bring our praise. There's so many things we can bring to God. But when we come to him in worship, the scripture admonishes us, don't come empty-handed. Come before me, right, with something here. Romans 12, verse 1 and 2 tells us to present ourselves as living sacrifices. Now, what I've discovered, and maybe you've discovered too, is the only problem with the living sacrifice is it can crawl off the altar anytime it wants to, right? I mean, a dead sacrifice is there. It's not going anywhere. It's permanently in place until somebody does something with it. But a living sacrifice can say, I really wanted to watch that ball game. I think I'll get off the altar for a little bit. I'll go watch the game. Then I'll come back. It'll be okay. God will be all right. Right. And truth is, God will be all right. Right. But will you? Will you? If you miss that opportunity to worship for him, before him. We read the story in John chapter 12, where the woman anointed Jesus with the perfume. Remember that story? And she took this alabaster box of perfume and she broke it open and poured it on him. She gave what she had. She gave the best that she had, and she gave all that she had, right? And what we don't understand when we read that passage of Scripture, unless we dig into it, is perfume was just like money back in the day. And so she had a year's worth of money saved up. That was her 401k, her IRA, okay? Single woman, that's what she was living off of. So if she needed something, some bread or something, she might take that perfume and sell just a little bit of it to buy bread with. That's how she lived. And we often miss that. She gave everything she had when she poured it out on the Lord, right? Proverbs 3, verse 9 and 10 says, "Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruit of your crops." Malachi 3:10 says, "Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, and see if I will not open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much that you won't have room for it." Our worship before God needs to be valuable. We need to bring something to him. Let's not be like the folks in Malachi, right, chapter 1 and chapter 2, where they were bringing the worst animal for the sacrifice. As a matter of fact, the scripture says, "Cursed is the cheat who has an acceptable offering," right? In other words, a really good sheep to sacrifice. And he brings the absolute worst sheep that he has to sacrifice. Cursed is the cheat, right? So let's make sure that when we think about vital worship, that it cost us something, right? The third thing I see about this vital worship is that it's vocal. It's vocal, right? In Psalm 33:3, it says, sing to him a new song and shout for joy. Now, I promise you in 2 weeks, 2 weeks' time, right? Maybe 13 days, right? There's going to be a lot of shouting for joy in front of a TV because your favorite football team is going to be playing, right? So I don't know, go Dogs, Roll Tide, whatever it is. I don't know what it is for you, right? And there's going to be people shouting and screaming at the top of his lungs. There's going to be 80,000 people in some stadium, 100,000 people in Neyland Stadium, right? Screaming their head off for the Tennessee Volunteers, right? Screaming. Those same people, some of them are going to show up in church the next Sunday, the next day, Sunday, and they're going to sing a great praise song like we sang right here, and they're going to be going, crickets, crickets. The God of all creation, right? We're worshiping him, the God of all creation, and we're crickets. Where the day before, 22 men that we've never met, we don't know their mama or their daddy or their cousins. We don't even know what town they came up in, but they got a number on and a jersey on, and we're screaming our head off, run, 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 right? Or what are you doing? What are you thinking? But we come into the house of the Lord, and it's crickets. I think there's something wrong with that. I think if aliens really do exist, and I've got to believe they do, right? If aliens really do exist, and they come down on a Saturday, right, to kind of spy on us, they're going to realize that our God is round and made of leather, or oblong and made of leather, right? Does it hurt yet? Right? They're going to think our worship facilities have nice green grass that hundreds of thousands of dollars are spent on to make look pretty. Right? And the hedges, whoops, I messed up. The hedges, that's a Georgia thing, right? Are immaculate. Man, that must be their God. That must be their worship center, right? And we come to church and the aliens come in and look at us and go, what's that all about? Psalm 47:1 says, shout to God with cries of joy. Psalm 40:9 says, I proclaim your righteousness. I do not seal my lips. Now we seal things. I like sealing things in those Ziploc bags. There's just something, I don't know, comforting about that, right? Just seal that thing up and it's there, right? The Bible says that. The psalmist says, I'm not going to seal my lips up. Right? I'm not. Psalm 40:10 says, I do not conceal your love and your truth from the great assembly. That's us, the great assembly. Ephesians 5:19 says, speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Right? And in Acts chapter 16, we find Paul and Silas, who have been preaching the word. They got thrown in jail. Right? They're chained up and everybody's in there with them. And if I understand this right, they were in a jailhouse and they were singing a song about the Rock of Ages. Thank you, Gail. You caught it. You're the only one in the room that caught it, but you caught it. I'll say it again in Spanish, right? They were in a jailhouse and they were singing a song about the Rock of Ages. Anybody else? It's a bad joke. I need Lily to bail me out here. I need something better than that. Jailhouse Rock, right? Jailhouse Rock, yeah. It's a tough guy. Yeah, you got it and you didn't want it. I appreciate that. It was rough. Well, I'll have to bring my associate in, Lily, to give us a really good one a little later on. So, amen. All right, you understand what I'm saying. It's got to be vocal, right? When we show up in this place, let's open our mouths to the Lord, right? Let's sing that out. The fourth thing. I find that vital worship must be vibrant. Vibrant. Psalm 47:1 says, clap your hands, all you nations. Psalm 98:4 says, shout for joy. Burst forth into jubilant song with music. When's the last time you burst forth into jubilant song with music? Some of you did when you had your radio on in the car when nobody was looking. Some of you did in the shower when nobody was looking. Hopefully nobody was looking, right? Right. You just sang it away, right? And come on, Silas. I mentioned your name already. I'll say it again. Come on, Silas. Sing one for us, buddy. Psalm 145:7 says, they will celebrate your abundant goodness. Psalm 149:1, sing to the Lord a new song. Praise him in the assembly of the saints. Psalm 149:3, let them praise his name with dancing.
Amen.
Ouch. Okay, you folks listening online, we're not dancing right now, so don't call the dance police on us. Just kidding. We're supposed to worship the Lord with dancing. When's the last time you danced in church?
This morning.
This morning? Thank you, Mary. I love you. I appreciate that. Thank you. Thank you. Right?
Every week.
It's right here in the scripture. We can dance, right? Psalm 150 says, praise him with trumpet and harp and lyre, which is our guitar and tambourine and dancing and strings and flute and cymbals. That's vibrant, right? Psalm 42:4 says, we go into the house of God with shouts of joy and thanksgiving among the festive throng. The festive throng. And the only thing we got festive going on here is those donuts in the back, right? There was some festivities taking place back there just a few minutes ago. I saw that. The fifth thing I see about vital worship is it's got to be vigilant. It's got to be vigilant. Colossians 3:16 says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. We must be vigilant about studying the word. We must be vigilant about what God says about himself in the word. Right? You just can't show up here on Sunday unprepared for worship. You just can't, right? We should be preparing all week to show up to worship together. If we're not, we're just missing out on the best of the best all week long. Colossians 3:17 says, whatever you do, do to all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Colossians 3 says, set your hearts and your mind on things above. Colossians 4:2 says, devote yourself to prayer and be watchful and thankful. That's that vigilant part of it. 1 Kings 8:61 says, this was at the dedication of the Temple of Solomon. It says, but your hearts must be fully committed to the Lord. Fully committed. Matthew chapter 24, he says, therefore keep watch, for you do not know what day the Lord may return. And in chapter 25, he paints that picture of the 10 virgins, right, who are waiting on the wedding to take place. Back in the day, a wedding took a week. In our day and time, it takes 2 years to plan that thing, right? Maybe 3 years, right? And what is the average cost of a wedding nowadays? $45,000, $50,000, something insane. It's ridiculous, right? Back in the day, it took a week. And what happened was, during that week, the groom was negotiating the final price to buy his bride, right, with the dad, right? What about this? What about this? I think she's worth more than that. Yeah, she's worth more than a cow. She's worth more than two cows and two sheep. You know, just this bargaining was going on, right? And when the bargain had finally been finalized, the groom was allowed to go get his bride. And the 10 virgins, the bridegrooms, they were bridesmaids. They were waiting for this event to take place because they were going to go in a caravan, right? He was going to come and get her and take her to the wedding. Right? Beautiful picture, just like Jesus is going to come get us and take us. But the Bible says they all fell asleep. Now, five of them were wise and five of them were foolish, it said. Five of them had brought some extra oil with them in case the wedding was going to take place at night, and they had to light the path with their flashlights today, but they had to light the path with their oil lamps. And they woke up and the trumpet sounded and said, the wedding's about to start. Everybody got excited. The town just started waking up. Hey, let's go to the wedding. And they didn't have enough oil in their lamps. They weren't vigilant. Right? Five of them did. And they were able to lead the procession, right, to the wedding venue. Beautiful image. We must be vigilant. Vital worship is vigilance. It's preparing ahead of time for that moment when we'll meet God and worship together. It's preparing ahead of time for that moment when you meet him in private together, right? That face-to-face moment. Vital worship is vigilant. And then lastly, Vital worship is visible. It's visible. You know, you can tell when a couple's in love, can't you? They're holding hands, he's opening the door for, you know, he's stealing a kiss, right? You can tell, right? You can tell when somebody's in love with the Lord. Our worship must be visible. It must be evident. It must be seen. Don't hide it under a bushel. No, I'm going to let it shine, right? Psalms 40 verse 9 says, I proclaim your righteousness in the great assembly, right? And that's when we gather, we should proclaim it. When it's testimony time in just a little bit, praise time, when we share something about God, right? That's an act of worship. It's just not singing. It's when we talk about him and share him. Psalm 63:4 says, lifting holy hands before the Lord. We lift holy hands before the Lord. Now, why do we lift hands? It's like, because I'm not holding on to anything here that's sinful. I've let go of the sinful earth for a moment. I've let go of my sinful passions and desires and my crazy thoughts. I've let them go for a moment, and I lift my hands and say, God, with all those within me right now in this moment, right, in the righteousness of Christ, I lift my hands and I praise you. You know, if you've ever seen soldiers salute, right? They have a certain salute. Each branch has a certain way of doing it just right. And it says, you know, show your arms. Back in the day, the reason you wanted to show your arm was to make sure you didn't have a gun in it. And so you walk up to a general or someone in front of you. He wanted to know if you were fixing to shoot him and take his place. So you showed your arms. You showed your hands. I don't have a weapon in my hands. And so when we lift up our hands in worship, by the way, it's okay. When you lift up your hands in worship, what you're doing is you're revealing, Father, I've tried to let go of this to give you this. Right? It's visible. Psalm 138:2, we're admonished to bow down before the Lord. Psalm 95:6, we're admonished to kneel before the Lord. Dancing, I already mentioned that, Psalm 149:3. Clapping of hands. Worship is visible. And listen, sometimes just showing up in this place together with believers, sometimes just showing up is visible enough for you because maybe you've had a bad day or a bad week. Maybe you're exhausted when you walk in this building and all you could do was walk in the building. That's okay too. Just show up. Vital worship is visible. I'm here. I don't feel like worshiping God. I want to go home and crawl up under the covers, and I don't want to talk to anybody for a week, right? But I chose to be here. That's vital worship. Sometimes just showing up is what it takes to get there, right? To worship the Lord. Psalm 145:3 says, great is the Lord and worthy to be praised. Psalm 147:1 says, how good it is to sing praise to our God. How pleasant and fitting it is to praise him. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the love that you have for us, that you sent your only Son to die on the cross for our sins. Thank you, Jesus, for being the bravest man I know, that you took all the sin of all the world forever and ever into yourself when you died on that cross. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for coming back to life and living in us and around us and through us and over us and under us. And thank you, Jesus. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And thank you, Holy Spirit, for being our teacher, our guide, the one who loves us, the one who challenges us, the one who leads us into worship. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, thank you, thank you for always being there for us. Now come, Holy Spirit, have your way with us in this moment. Speak to us, teach us, correct us, guide us, encourage us, heal us. Come, Holy Spirit, have your way with us in this moment. For we pray in the name of Jesus, Emmanuel, Yeshua, Yahshua, Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals, the God who sees, Jehovah Jireh. We pray in the strong name of Jesus. Amen.